Good morning. Welcome to the Lord's house on this second Sunday, rather third Sunday of Eastertide. If you haven't already, we'd like to encourage you to sign the friendship register at the end of the pew and pass it on for your neighbors down the row. If you're a first-time visitor this morning to Berry Christian Church, we'd like to say a special word of welcome to you, and we'd like to honor your presence with a small gift that we will bring to you where you're seated. If you'll simply raise your hand, let us know where we can find you. Any first-time visitors, please raise your hand. All right. A couple of announcements here. Men, please be reminded of the gathering of men this Thursday, April 19th at 6:30 p.m. We will have a guest speaker, a horticulturist will be here, who will be our guest speaker. And ladies, please check out the information concerning the CWF regional meeting on April 26th and the June service project mentioned in your bulletin announcement page. Regarding our youth, we are interested in hearing about any upcoming graduations so we can honor this year's graduates on Sunday, May 20th during both services. If you could call us in a church office or see me between services or after service, we'd like to get your graduate recognized, and that will be for high school graduations or college or any trade school, any major graduation, significant graduation in your child's life. Any youth that are interested in attending summer camps at Tall Oaks need to contact the church office, as the early bird registration deadline is next Friday. And please also remember, we still need you to sign up to read scriptures or be a greeter or provide children's sermons. There's several sign-up sheets on the table back in the back. And with the return of winter and snow, we've decided we're going to put our Christmas tree back up. If you could gather after service right up here, we'd like to do that. That wasn't real, but certainly the announcement about needing scripture readers and greeters and children's sermons is real. So please do sign up for that at the back table. Are there any other announcements this morning? All right, Andrew.
Please rise for the call to worship. Dear friends, let us love one another, because love comes from God. And God showed his love for us by sending his only Son into the world. Thanks be to God. Let us sing hymn number 200, stanzas 1, 2, and 4.
Love is this, oh my soul, what wondrous love is this, oh my soul, what wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul, to bear the dreadful curse for my soul. When I was sinking down, when I was sinking down, when I was sinking down beneath God's righteous frown, Christ laid aside his crown for my soul, Christ laid aside his crown for my soul. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing on. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing on. And when from death I'm free. I'll sing and joyful be, and through eternity I'll sing on, and through eternity I'll sing on.
May we bow in prayer. O God, we gather here in your house this morning, and we acknowledge your reconciling love. We feel the warm and human love for our brothers and sisters here in our Berry Christian Church family. We've experienced the unconditional love of our parents and families, or perhaps we felt that love from foster families or other caring friends. We admit, O God, that we need to feel loved and that we often take for granted those who love us unconditionally. We do know, Lord, that your love for us is everlasting and all-encompassing and indeed unconditional. You saw to that when you sent Jesus into our world to love us and to teach us and to show us the power of resurrection and forgiveness. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet those around you and welcome each other into worship this morning. Please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing from page 511, Strong, Gentle Children.
Strong, gentle children, God made you beautiful, gave you the wisdom and power you need. Speak in stillness, all you are longing for. Live out your calling to love and to lead.
Good morning. How's everybody this morning? We good? Everybody good? Good. I'm glad. Were we surprised to see snow this morning? I was. I didn't want to scrape my windows. Okay. We're going to talk about choices today. So I have a question for you. And be honest when you answer. How many of you have ever thought, I wish I was older so I could make my own decisions? See, I know whether you say yes or no. You're probably the only honest one here, dude. Because I remember thinking that a lot when I was a kid. When I didn't want to do something my parents wanted me to do. It's like, if I was just older, I could make my own decisions. I could decide for myself. Huh. Guess what? When we get older, we don't make our own decisions. Not if we're smart, anyway. Really smart adults, they ask God. They let God help decide for them. They ask God to give us direction and to give us wisdom so that we make good decisions. I have some cards here. I'm going to give each one of you a card, okay? Hang on. I'm going to take this one. Hold on. Hold on. Here you go. One for you. You can open it up because you probably can't read it anyway. One for you. Okay. Can we open up and see what's inside? You get whatever's inside, by the way. What do you get? Let's see. What are you getting there, dude? Rotten tomatoes. Oh! Mustard greens. Oh, hers is blank. She didn't get anything. Ugh. What do you got? Nothing good. Dead flowers. Rotten bananas, and mud. But you know what? I have one here. These all looked exactly the like, didn't they? Let's see what this one says. Mine says cookies. It's really hard to tell sometimes what's good and what isn't, because things look the same a lot of times. That's what makes decisions hard to make. That's why we need to ask God. You know why? Because we can only see this side. God sees what's back here. And when we ask him to direct us, he's going to send us to the good stuff every time. He's always going to give us cookies. He's not going to give us no rotten bananas or rotten tomatoes or anything like that. Always going to give us the good stuff. We just have to listen. Ask God and listen. Okay, we're going to have a little prayer. But on your way out, Miss Wanda, clear in the back, has some goodies. She has some cookies. She's my cookie lady. You may stop by Miss Wanda and pick a cookie. Okay? Let's have a prayer first. Dearest Heavenly Father, please help us always listen to your direction in life, because we know that you will always point us in the direction of the good things in life. You will never show us the wrong direction. You will always send us down the right path. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. As we have the privilege to go to God in prayer, a number of people to remember this week, Lita Pouquet, who's recovering from a fall, was actually able to be here at the early service this morning, and John and Dorinda Hoke were also here at the 8:30 service. And again, we lift up John as he has a rather significant doctor's appointment tomorrow to ascertain where things are with regard to further treatment possibilities with regard to this tumor he had behind his right eye. Freddie Nichols is still at the North Kansas City Hospital, again, still dealing with some significant back concerns. And Jean Kimmerling is also still at North Kansas City Hospital. And so please remember Jean and Grace in your prayers. We continue to remember Peggy and Jerry Treese in the midst of their knee surgery recovery. And also, Roger and Barbara Blakely were also here at the 8:30 service. That's the first time they've been able to worship with us in over a year, well over a year. So we just praise God that that was possible for Roger. He is having some issues with the stem cells being rejected by his body. That's a concern, a significant one. So please keep him in your prayers. But He's got so much more energy. He was showing me some pictures of some woodworking jigs he'd been making, you know, in his spare time while he's still back to work. So those are all positive things. Just hope that the stem cell issue is able to be resolved here in the near future. We continue to remember Di and John Kaiser. We also remember Jerry Donahue's niece, Angel Earhart, Gwen Stefani's sister, Susan, and Penny Valley, the daughter of Lita Piquet. With all of these people in prayer, may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, as we've seen the hints of the spring season this past week, with trees budding and various blooming plants emerging from the earth, we are aware that renewal is in fact taking place. But as we enjoy this measure of anticipation and joy, as the world around us brings forth new life, may this season we call Eastertide, in which we celebrate the appearances of our risen Lord before his ascension, may this spring season also be for us a season of spiritual renewal. As we search the scriptures, we realize that such spiritual renewal springs forth from a penitent heart, willing to seek out your forgiveness. For like the psalmist in Psalm 51 tells us, we make a personal plea as we cry out, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And as the psalmist also pleads in Psalm 51, restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing heart. As believers in Christ, we also realize, O God, that as we seek restoration of a renewed and right relationship with you, your Son and our Savior Jesus Christ gives us the most appropriate avenue through which we can define our lives as we strive to live a life that is renewed in mind, spirit, and soul. For Paul declares in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. The old has passed away, and the new has come. So as the spring season does indeed spring forth in the weeks ahead, we are encouraged by the renewal of our spirit made possible by your loving guidance, your grace, and by the sacrificial example set forth by your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. For this hope of spiritual renewal, we rejoice as we also recite the prayer Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And Phil, we thank you for reading our scripture this morning.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the 21st chapter of John, beginning with the 15th verse. You may find that in your pew Bible on page 992. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. A second time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter felt hurt because he had said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go. He said this to indicate the kind of death by which would glorify God. And after this, he said to him, "Follow me."
God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day I'll cross the river, I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the light of glory, and I know he lives. I know he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living, worth the living, worth the living, just because he lives. I know my Jesus lives. I know he lives. My Redeemer lives.
Luke's account of Jesus calling of the first of his disciples at the Sea of Galilee, Jesus spoke to a crowd along the shore from Simon Peter's fishing boat. Afterward, he instructed Simon Peter to push away the boat from away from the shore and cast out his nets. Simon Peter protested as he said, "Master, we worked all night long and caught nothing." But in following the instructions of Jesus, if simply in order to be cordial, for indeed, what did a carpenter know about fishing anyway? He said, "But if you say so, I will let down the nets." And Peter gathered his men, and as they went away from the shore and cast out the nets, they caught such an abundance of fish that the boat nearly sank. And Simon Peter was indeed humbled by the results of following Christ's simple instructions. But Jesus encouraged and recruited Simon Peter as he said, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." As we gather around the Lord's table, we are reminded that in doing so, we too are following simple instructions that Christ has given to us. For Jesus said, "Do this as often as you will in remembrance of me." And as we are faithful to God's instructions, we too may be amazed at the way God is able to use us in the fulfillment of his purposes today. We consider these thoughts as we turn to our communion hymn. It's number 197, "Beneath the Cross of Jesus," as we sing stanzas 1 and 3, please.
Of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. The shadow of a mighty rock within a weary land, a home within the wilderness, a rest upon the from the burning of the noontide heat and the burning of the day. I take, O cross, thy shadow for my abiding place. I ask no sunshine than the sunshine of his face. Content to let the world go by, to know no gain nor loss. My sinful self, my only shame, my glory all the cross.
And as we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as David leads us in a word of prayer.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we come to this table, we ask your blessing upon the loaf and the cup, the symbol of your love and your forgiveness. We pray that you will fill us with the Holy Spirit so that we can be a beacon of your love and forgiveness to others. For these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. we welcome you to share this morning.
Thank you.
As Simon Peter and his fellow disciples were instructed by the risen Christ from the shoreline of Lake Galilee to cast their nets to the right side of the boat, the Gospel of John tells us that they caught an abundance of fish, a total of 153 in all. This is not some arbitrary number, but it is symbolic of the idea that in that biblical time, they believed that there were 153 countries worldwide, expressing the notion that the gathering in was the gathering in of all of God's people throughout the world unto Christ. Again, it was made possible because they were willing to follow the simple instructions that were given by Jesus to the apostles on the boat. The lesson that the number of fish claims in the story also gives a guidance for us, that if we are willing to follow Christ's instructions, we also may be privileged to catch many to be a part of the family of God. As if Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1 reminds us, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. With these thoughts in mind, Michelle leads us in a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us realize how sharing can change the lives of others and how it can deepen our faith and build love and trust among us. Please bless these gifts and the givers, and may these gifts honor you, O God, as you have honored us in your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God, from whom all blessings flow, praise Him, all creatures here below, praise Him above the heavenly host, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Lord God, we pray that this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer, please. Holy and gracious God, we do give thanks for the privilege to be in your house and to know that we, too, are reconciled by your great love for us. It's in Christ's name that we give thanks. Amen. You know, we are now into this third week of what we call Eastertide, in which we are celebrating the resurrected Christ before his ascension. You may recall from last week that I mentioned we're going to be taking last week and this week to be talking about the two people who were actually estranged from Jesus at the time of his crucifixion. We understood last week that the first of those two people was who? James, what? The half-brother of Jesus, right? And today we start looking at the apostle Simon Peter. How was Simon Peter estranged from Christ? It was because he had indeed denied Christ those three times while he was in the courtyard while Jesus was being cross-examined, right? Now, as we look at these stories of Jesus making his appearance in his resurrected form, one thing that is noteworthy about this 40-day time period is that Jesus is not hanging around with his disciples the whole time. He appears and then he leaves. He's only there at certain time periods. In fact, even if you look at the story of Luke chapter 24, this is as Cleopas and Simon are hurrying back into Jerusalem and they meet up with the disciples. And they are huddled together, you know, in fear for their lives. And the text tells us with verse 36 of Luke chapter 24, suddenly the Lord himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." He just suddenly appeared. Now, they're a bit afraid because, my gosh, well, is he a ghost? And Jesus comforts them. He says, "Well, why are you alarmed? Why are these doubts coming up in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet and see that it is I myself. Feel me and you will know. For a ghost doesn't have flesh and bones, as you can see that I have." Now, this is a really kind of unique experience of being present with Christ here in his resurrected form. Again, he has bodily form that's recognizable. People can go up and touch him. And yet he has this ability to walk through a solid door or to just appear and then just be gone. Even in that story with Simon and Cleopas, as he breaks the bread, it's as if he just vanishes. What happened to him? Now, you got to admit, if you had a friend that could do those sort of things, that would really give you pause for consideration, wouldn't it? Absolutely. But all of this is giving us hints of the miraculous power of the risen Christ, the risen Christ. That's why it's so important for us to give this time period, Eastertide, pause and consideration, because we don't give credence to the power of the risen Christ. And what I'm trying to emphasize last Sunday and this Sunday is the power of reconciliation made available in the risen Christ. Now, the text that we had read to us earlier by Phil from the Gospel of John, the 21st chapter, we know that the disciples had gone to Galilee as they had been instructed to do so. And we have here at the Sea of Galilee, Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, James and John, and two other disciples whose names are not mentioned. Simon Peter says to the group, "I'm going fishing." Now, don't take this as if somehow Simon Peter says, "I'm quitting on Jesus." He's not. This is the family business. In fact, we have to appreciate the fact that when James and John, Simon Peter and Andrew went to follow Jesus, they were leaving the family business of fishing with the other relatives, and the other relatives had to take up the slack for the work that those men would normally do. So it was a significant financial commitment for those families to allow that many family members leave and go into this business of following a traveling rabbi, even if they didn't believe he was the Messiah, you see. So here, Simon Peter says, "Well, I'm going to go do what's familiar to me. I'm going fishing." And of course, we know they've been fishing all night. That was a typical thing to do in that time period. But yet, in the gray light of the dawn, there emerged a bystander on the shoreline while they were off about 100 yards away from shore. And the bystander says, "Throw your net to the right side of the boat, and you'll catch some." And of course, we know that when they were willing to follow those instructions, how many fish did they catch? 153. Again, representative of 153 nations of the world. Given the idea of the gospel being for all peoples, all places. But of course, we know they come ashore, and as they are on the shoreline, notice that Jesus already made preparations for them. Says that there's a fire and there's fish cooking on the fire, and of course Jesus has bread. In other words, Jesus has fixed what? Breakfast. This may not be your breakfast of champions, but this was breakfast in that time period. You know, not eggs and ham, that wasn't available. They ate what's available, right? But they'd been working all night long. Don't you know they were hungry? Yet this shows us that Christ in his sensitivity always wants to take care of our personal needs before addressing spiritual issues, right? Now then the text says that after they had eaten, then Jesus says to Simon, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these others do?" Now, some people might think that Jesus is somehow trying to make some sort of comparison between Simon Peter and the other disciples. That's not the case. What Jesus really is doing is he's actually taking Simon Peter's own words and he's bringing them back to the memory so that he might be able to address this issue. Again, remember that in Matthew's gospel, while they are finishing up the Lord's Supper, Jesus said, "Now, my disciples, you all are going to be scattered." Now, Simon Peter, being the bold, brash fisherman that he was, he says, "Oh, that's not going to happen to me. Not me. I'm not going to be among the scattered." Look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 33. He says, "I will never leave you, even though all the rest do." Now, that's a bold statement, is it not? Even if everybody else leaves you, Jesus, I'm there with you, tooth and toenail, right? Now, of course, what really does happen? We know that Simon Peter denies Christ three times there in the courtyard. And don't you know, he felt horrendously embarrassed to even now be among the other disciples once again. Now notice, first of all, that from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we understand that Jesus made an appearance in his resurrected form to Simon Peter. And we know that that was quite likely in private. And that was important. Somehow that reconciliation between Christ and Jesus needed to be handled privately, right? Well then, why do we have this story then? Because a public denial really deserves a public confession and reconciliation. That's why. So here in this setting, after their stomachs are full and they're able to rest a bit, Jesus asks Simon Peter, "Simon Peter, do you love me?" And Simon Peter says, "Oh yes, Lord, you know that I love you." How many times is that said? Three times. How many times had Simon Peter denied Christ? Three times. What you also have to understand is that Simon Peter had already been forgiven. But why do this? This was done not just for Simon Peter, but for the benefit of the apostles themselves. Again, a public denial deserves a public reconciliation. Simon Peter, do you love me? Oh, yes, Lord, you know. Who else heard that? Every disciple that was there. Why was this important? Because Simon Peter needed to be restored, not just personally with Christ, but publicly in such a way that Simon Peter is restored back into the fellowship of the disciples. And who does that? Jesus does that. The resurrected Christ accomplishes that. But in addition to that reconciliation, there's also something else that's very important, is that when we are reconciled to God, it's not just so we can sit there and say, oh, boy, I'm glad I got that over with. No, it's so that we can be empowered. That's why. Again, we think about James, the brother of Jesus. As he was reconciled back into a powerful relationship with the resurrected Christ, what does he do? He becomes the leader of the church in Jerusalem, a powerful, significant leader. And now we have Simon Peter here with the gathering of some of the other disciples. As Jesus reconciles Simon Peter publicly, he also gives him a charge. With each occasion, he says what? Simon Peter, feed my sheep. He gives him a job. He restores him to a position of responsibility and authority. Simon Peter becomes the shepherd of the church of Jesus Christ. So it's not a matter of him saying, whoo, glad I got that denial business over with. Now I'm safe. No, that all is profoundly humbling for Simon Peter. What it really is a matter of, wow, now I've been given an incredible responsibility to go out and shepherd all people who may know Christ as Lord and Savior, right? You know, in the Christian church and in so many other Christian fellowships, at the end of our service, we have what we call an invitation, don't we? Why do we do that? We do that because our public denial of Christ needs a public confession. I say, oh, I didn't deny Christ. No, no, no. We have to appreciate the fact that there are time and time and time again occasions in which we find ourselves denying Christ. If we really are honest, we have to admit we've done our share of denial. It might be when we're with a group of co-workers and the behavior or the talk kind of leans a whole lot more toward maliciousness. Oh, we just slide right into it, don't we? Or when it's when some family members are starting to connive toward doing something to one of another family members, and oh, it's so easy to find ourselves talking bad about Uncle Joe, you know? We so easily slide in to that kind of behavior. Our behavior, our words, so often deny the essence of the Christ that should live within us. We've done our share of denial. Our denial deserves a public confession where we say, I seek forgiveness for my sin, and I want to have my relationship realigned with you, God, and I know that you provide that through your Son, Jesus Christ, so I come before the congregation, I ask God to forgive me, I want to confess my sin, I want to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. Our public denial needs a public confession. And there's even another reason why we believe this is so important. As we look at the scriptures, we look at the text of Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Jesus himself said, if you confess me before others, I will confess you before the Father at the time of the judgment. When everything about this earth is said and done, you know, our name's going to come up before the living God. The judgment of each of us individually is going to take place. But if we've confessed Christ publicly, all that sin is washed away. Christ then stands in our place, does he not? before God Himself, and we're redeemed. So, Simon Peter, reconciled to God through the risen Christ, not only privately, but how? Publicly as well. And given an incredible level of responsibility, which he carried forth even to his own death on an upside-down cross, right? So for you and I, do we know Christ? Have we accepted Christ as Lord and Savior? If you haven't done that for your own personal life, maybe today is your day to come forward and make that confession before others. Or maybe today is the day you need to become a part of the fellowship here at Berry Christian Church as we turn to our hymn of invitation. And actually, it's an insert in your bulletin, Love Lifted Me. For the sake of time, we're going to sing the first and third stanzas. But let us stand and sing, recognizing that it is by love that we are indeed redeemed. Love Lifted Me. Stanzas 1 and 3, the bulletin insert.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Jesus firmly saves, He will lift you by His love out of the angry waves. He's the Master of the sea, billows His will obey. He's your Savior, wants to be saved today. Love lifted me. Love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help, love lifted me.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. And we do want to remind the men again that we've got the men's fellowship this Thursday. Looking forward to that special event. Even though it's been rather cold this morning, we know that that's still temporary. It only happens on Sundays, you know. Unless, of course, you live in Iowa or Minnesota or the far northeast, right? We're really kind of blessed. We just kind of get a little bit of a dip every once in a while, right? But before you know it, it'll be warm enough soon enough, right? But we thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. May we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, as we depart, your Spirit empowers us to be renewed, strengthened, and indeed redeemed. For this privilege, we give thanks as we strive to move forward in ways that we hope bring glory to your kingdom as we journey forward with a new week. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen.
I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me. When I was in trouble, Jesus lifted me. When I was in trouble, Jesus lifted me. When I was in trouble, Jesus lifted me. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus lifted me.